Work has been underway for a while now to reduce potential fire dangers when and where possible. The state of California scatters millions of dollars to lower wildfire risk on private lands. California Climate Investments, or CCI, is one avenue of spending. A CCI grant went to the American Forest Foundation for work on private land in Shasta and other Northern California counties. Tom Fry is a director of the Western Forest Conservation at the American Forest Foundation, and he can tell us about the program and how it works. Hi, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Jeffrey. Thanks for having us.
It's good to have you here. Give us the basic lay of the land. How much land at risk of fire in California is private?
Well, the short answer is a whole heck of a lot. We looked at fire risk across the country, particularly across the West, 750 million acres of burnable wildland vegetation, and about 145 million of those acres are at high fire risk. Of that, 52 million, over a third, is on private lands. And when we look at California in particular, statewide, there are actually more high fire risk acres on private lands than there are on public lands.
Really? And what features identify it as high risk land?
Well, we look at a bunch of different data sets, and high fire risk is typically characterized as the probability of a fire starting and the size of the fire once it gets going.
Okay, so on those counts, so we're talking about 52 million acres of private land in California, you said?
52 million acres across the West, mm-hmm. and in California, we're looking at a little bit better than 12 million acres on private lands.
So is this, we talk about land intended for timber production or non-industrial lands?
No, these are non-industrial lands. These are landowners that own their woods for a variety of reasons. They're typically smaller owners from 20 to 40 to 100 acres, and they like being in the woods. So the non-industrial side of the equation is well, it's a huge part of the equation.
So there are funds for reducing risk, and then through what kinds of actions, what kinds of things reduce the risk?
Well, you know, to understand fire risk, you've got to go back to 100 years of fire suppression and appreciate, as hard as it is to see every summer, that fire actually is a necessary part of the forest ecosystems. And in a lot of those ecosystems, they're simply out of whack for taking fire out. And as a consequence, we see a ton of buildup of small woody debris, small trees, that when a fire gets started, it's got a lot more fuel to burn. And really, at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do is remove some of that fuel and get that ecosystem back to where it was.
So you mentioned these are non-industrial lands. So is work done on these lands periodically? I mean, give us a sketch, if you would, of how often something is done out there to begin with to potentially reduce fire risk.
Yeah, I mean, and it kind of goes to the landowner, the individual landowner. Some folks are really motivated, are certainly in the know. There are landowner associations across the country, certainly there in California and Oregon as well. But there are also a lot of landowners who, for one reason or the other, don't appreciate, don't understand that owning a woodlot, owning some forest, is not unlike owning a home, where periodic maintenance is required. Some studies suggest upwards of 9 in 10 landowners don't understand that they need to manage their land to keep it healthy.
Okay, that's a significant number. So are we talking about people who've bought into forest land not having owned forest land before in some cases, in a lot of cases?
Yeah, that's certainly the case. In a lot of cases, it may be forest land that has been in the family for a number of generations, and the kids or the grandkids are stepping up and inheriting that. It may be a second ownership. It may be folks that are weekend warriors that are able to go up to a forest retreat on the weekends, but live in the cities during the week.
Tom Fry is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the director of Western Forest Conservation for the organization American Forest Foundation, talking about grants going through organizations like his to help reduce the danger of wildfire or the risk of wildfire on private non-industrial lands in California. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Tom, tell us a bit about the organization itself. We haven't asked about the American Forest Foundation and some of its goals.
Sure. Sure, happy to. So the American Forest Foundation is a national not-for-profit organization working with family landowners across the country. And one thing to keep in mind with those family lands, if you look at the ownership patterns of forests across the country, private and family landowners actually own more forest land in the U.S. than any other ownership, including the federal government. And so AFF, the American Forest Foundation's mission, is to ensure the sustainability of that private forest land base, that it can continue to deliver the goods and services that the country depends on.
But so in some cases you're representing industrial landowners, in some cases non-industrial?
No, our focus is the non-industrial land base, those family forest landowners.
So when you say more land in private hands than even the federal government, that's the whole country you're talking about. It's a very different story in the West, I would presume.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. In the West, about 31% of the Western land base is in forest. Of that, 42% is privately owned.
Okay, and the rest then public land ownership.
Right.
All right. So so let's talk about the programs that the Cal Fire and other state agencies offer for reducing some of the wildfire risk. Looks like the My Sierra Woods program gets its money from California Climate Investments.
Yeah, that's correct. We were very fortunate to receive a grant from Cal Fire and the CCI Forest Health Program a little over a year ago now to stand up a program and actually expand an existing program across 9 counties in Northern California. To empower those family forest landowners to do what they need to do on their land to reduce their fire risk. And we do that by providing technical assistance to those landowners with professional foresters. And then if and when the landowner is ready to take action, we've got some assistance set up for them to help subsidize the cost of the work getting done.
So the tech assistance, I assume, is having silviculturalists, things like that. People come in who just know forests and be able to say these are the kinds of things you probably want to change to reduce the wildfire risk?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Registered professional foresters, as they're known, and we've got a stable of those foresters ready to dispatch at a moment's notice, so to speak, to visit with the landowner on their property, to discuss the landowner's goals and objectives for that land, and help them develop a plan to get there.
So what might it cost, for example, for a landowner per acre to bring in first the technical assistance and then when they want to bring in some workers to, I assume, clear out some of the brush and potentially trees as well?
Yeah, it's not an inexpensive proposition by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, the survey work we've done suggests that cost is certainly the number one barrier to landowners to taking action. And it really kind of depends on the particulars of the land itself. It can run anywhere from several hundred to many tens of thousands of dollars per acre just to get the work done.
Wow. What would be the circumstance in which it would cost tens of thousands per acre?
Well, typically what you'll see in those circumstances are lands that are certainly overly dense with trees. You see slope and aspect as a driving factor of that cost. It really boils down to the operability of that landowner's property.
All right. So obviously you said money to help with the tech assistance. And I mean, does the grant pick up all of the costs for actual corrective measures, or does the landowner have to put some money on the table as well?
Yeah, no, I think it's important that the landowner has some skin in the game, so to speak. So it's not 100% of the cost. Our goal is to help that landowner get what needs to be done at little cost to them. Maybe not no cost, but certainly little cost to them. And so what we do through the My Sierra Woods program is, again, provide them with or connect them with a professional forester. And then if and when we get to a point where we can actually get some work done, we've got a program set up, the Forest Biomass Transportation Incentive, the FBTI, that helps that landowner with the cost of hauling some of the byproducts of that work to one of several bioenergy facilities in the area.
I noticed that. This is the part of the conversation where the acronyms start piling up. We get the FBTI and then BioRAM. So let's take this one step at a time. Forest Biomass Transportation Incentive is basically the idea that they get the things hauled away from their land that might burn out in the woods, and instead it gets burned someplace else as biomass fuel?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Northern California is blessed with a number of bioenergy facilities that take wood waste and other forms of agricultural municipal waste and turn that into energy. And in the context of the Forest Biomass Transportation Incentive Program, the FBTI, we're helping landowners offset a portion of the cost to haul from their land to one of these facilities that wood waste that is the byproduct of that risk reduction work.
We're talking again to Tom Fry, the director of Western Forest Conservation for the American Forest Foundation, about programs like My Sierra Woods that are helping landowners in Shasta and Tehama and seven other counties reduce wildfire risk on their private non-industrial forest lands. Questions or comments from you are welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Well, since I dropped the BioRAM shoe, let me drop the other one and ask what a biofuel renewable auction mechanism is?
That's a great question. Biofuel renewable auction mechanism is California's attempt to turn carbon into a tradable good. California is one of very few states in the U.S. that have one of these programs, and polluters, so to speak, those manufacturers, those entities that emit carbon, pay for the right to do so, and that revenue goes to the state to fund a variety of public goods, not the least of which being forest health.
So does BioRAM create a market where there wasn't one before? Is some of this work able to be done in removing biomass from private woodland because of the existence of that program?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the facilities have been in operation for a number of years, some of which predated the cap and trade program there in California. But through the cap and trade program and certainly other legislative actions that you all have taken in California have really driven home an emphasis on connecting that bioenergy with the fire risk problem. And those bioenergy facilities are increasingly looking to source their fuel supply from the byproducts of the risk reduction work.
We have an email question from Becca in Lane County who asks, how about rural residential areas where the properties are from 2 to 5 acres? Are we better off because everybody's fire conscious? She says, my area is very wild and very few people have managed, in quotes, their properties.
Yeah, certainly the smaller landowners are a big part of the puzzle as well. Fire is going to burn. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And collectively, the more action that's taken, the better off that everybody is. At a minimum, certainly those smaller parcel sizes, focusing on defensible space around their structures, their homes, is a huge component. But if you've got larger landowners adjacent to that, industrial landowners, federal landowners, all of that work adds up to moderate fire behavior when it starts.
So could you get in a situation, though, where you've treated your land but your neighbor hasn't? I mean, how much encouragement is there in My Sierra Woods to make sure that you have adjacent property owners taking part in the program?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. Random acts of conservation don't cut it anymore. For fire risk reduction to work, it needs to work at a landscape scale. And that's why that cross-boundary work is so vital. And that cross-boundary may be from neighbor to neighbor. It may be private lands to industrial lands. It may be from private lands to federal lands. The trick, and I think what certainly we at AFF and through My Sierra Woods and a whole host of partners across California and Southwest Oregon are trying to do is to stitch together that action to provide a landscape scale effect.
Let's get a call in here, a quick one from Jeff in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tom Fry from the American Forest Foundation. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. First of all, I've worked in silviculture for the Bureau of Land Management for quite a few years. And what I'm wondering is when you remove biomass from the forest, and you, in my experience, you'd have to do that over and over again because a one-time treatment isn't going to do it, you risk depleting the soil on the forest land. And if you hand pile and burn, same thing. So how can you keep the soil under the forest after you've thinned or whatever treatment from being depleted over many years of removing biomass?
Okay, good question for that. No downed woody debris left. Jeff, thank you for the call. And what do you say, Tom?
Yeah, that's a great question. And certainly... the goal is not to remove every stitch of biomass from the property. There's a lot of good reasons to have that down woody debris in certain amounts. And in some cases, it will take a couple of times, a couple of entries, so to speak, to go and to clear out the fuel to reduce and moderate that fire behavior. Ultimately, however, you know, at the end of the day, we want to be able to get these forest properties in a condition where they can withstand a natural fire or a prescribed fire. And using prescribed fire is a tremendous tool in the toolbox to continue that the maintenance of that cleared stand.
Tom, is there some level of triage here? Are you looking for places that are particularly vulnerable or in particularly sensitive areas? Or is it just if somebody, you know, puts their hand up and says, I want to do this in which one of any one of the nine counties they get in?
Yeah, we've got a couple of program requirements. Certainly, we're looking at non-industrial private forest landowners that have 10 acres or more of forest. But we're also looking at landowners who are in a high hazard designated area from the state of California. Cal Fire's high hazard designations really denote those parts of the landscape where certainly the state and Cal Fire see wildfire hazard at its highest.
So if somebody thinks they might be eligible for the program, they live in one of the nine counties, which do include Shasta and Tehama that we serve, would Cal Fire or their local fire people know about it?
Yeah, they certainly would, and any of one of your listeners who are interested in learning more about the program can certainly visit us on the web at mysierrawoods.org, where we have a whole lot of information about program eligibility and other steps that landowners can take, even absent participating in this or many other programs available to them across the northern part of California.
Okay, mysierrawoods.org. The program is offered through California CCI program, California Climate Investment Forest Health Grant. Tom Fry is at the American Forest Foundation. Thanks for joining us.